I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Necessary Roughness, brought to you by Southfield Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. With 11-year NFL veteran, Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, and captain of the National Championship Michigan Wolverines, John Jansen. And 10-year NFL veteran, two-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, and Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, T.J. Lang. Now, here's John Jansen and T.J. Lang.
Well, TJ, we are 27 days away from the veterans reporting to Lions training camp, which is supposed to be the 26th. First open practice on July the 30th. Now that you've been retired for a few years, do you still get the itch at all when training camp comes around of a kind of missing out on going to camp, missing out on being with the guys? I know I do. I stay busy on whatever day it is just because I still miss, I miss playing, but I miss the guys getting back together. And I know that there's a lot of things about training camp that aren't our favorite. There's a lot of things about it that are arduous, that are you know, painful, but after a long off season, and maybe you had mini camp, maybe you didn't. Maybe, you know, when I played, we had a much more extensive off season program, so you saw guys. But this is the first time everybody's back together, and it was always kind of nice to have that little bit of a reunion. The football season's up and running. Do you still get the itch when training camp rolls around?
No, and I think you're crazy for missing training camp. That's the worst part of the year. I get the itch, you know, being this will be my fourth season not playing now, but normally like around week 8, week 9, you know, November starts to hit, and just fall weather and football weather, like that's kind of the time where I'm like, damn, you know, like
wish I was playing.
Damn, I wish I could go play, you know. But training camp, no. I mean, this is probably the best.
I don't understand that because I had 10 years in Virginia, which was hotter than hell, humid as hell.
You had bad training camps too.
You had training camp in Green Bay and in Detroit.
It would get warm in Green Bay.
It would get warm. It would get warm, right. It wouldn't get hot, miserably hot and humid and just sweat dripping off your balls.
Yeah, not that hot.
Come on, man.
No, but I mean, training camp, like you said, getting back in the building. I mean, look, these guys were just together for a couple months during the OTAs and the off-season workouts. That's more of like a kind of breaking in period type honeymoon period where it's just hanging out with the guys, working out. Nothing's really at stake. You're trying to learn the system, blah, 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 whatever, get into shape. But when training camp hits, it's a different vibe. It's time to work, you know. You realize, hey, I mean, you only got about a month until you start playing real football. So the stakes are definitely higher. But, no, for me, this was always like this time, this week, you know, end of June, beginning of July, this was always the best time of the year for me because you get to go back home. You know, I playing in Green Bay, I'd come back to Michigan, and you get, you know, 6-7 weeks off before training camp and get to enjoy a little bit of the summer before you know, your season locks down. Once 4th of July always hit for me, it was always kind of like, now all I'm doing is counting down the days. You know what I mean? It's been a fun summer. I've had fun, you know, hanging out on the boat, but it's 4th of July now. You know, we only got a couple weeks. They're going to fly by, and then training camp's going to start, and you're going to have to gear up. But, no, I look, and the difference between training camp, I mean, you obviously playing, you know, late 90s to 2000s periods. I mean, those training camps were brutal, and I went through a couple of them, you know, practicing at 8 a.m., going, working out, sitting in meetings all day, and then coming out again, practicing at 6 p.m., you know, for 2.5, 3 hours. Those two-a-days were, those were rough. I mean, those were super rough. These guys nowadays don't know what that's like, because obviously that was taken away, part of the new CBA back in 2011, I think it was.
Right, yeah, so, a year after I retired.
Yeah, that they took away the two-a-days. And training camp was, I mean, honestly felt like a breeze once the two-a-days were gone, because I think that's what everybody used to dread the most, at least offensive linemen did. But, yeah, these guys, I used to tell these guys, man, you can't really complain about training camp. I mean, we're only out here for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and we get to go sit in meetings. We don't have to come do two-a-days like we did, you know, 10 years ago. Those were the tough ones. If you've been through two-a-days, you don't bitch about the new training camp, because it's just it's obviously a lot lighter on your body, a lot of a lesser workload, you know, throughout those practices. But I mean,
what was your July like when you talk about the final time with the family, away from, you know, just rest, relaxation? What would you do in July in the ramp up to training camp?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was kind of the last minute detail of, you know, everybody goes through this, even when you're playing games. You know, you have a little, maybe couple seconds where you're like, gosh, I hope I'm ready. I think I'm ready, right? I've done enough to prepare, but I hope I'm ready. Like, July was kind of like that for me, where it's like, gosh, I hope I'm ready for training camp. You know, I've put in the work. I think I'm ready, but, you know, maybe I got to do a little bit extra, you know, to make sure, because the last thing you want to do is go into training camp and start on a bad note, whether it's being overweight or whether it's being out of shape. You obviously don't want to get off to a start like that. But July for me was, you know, like you said, I mean, the older I got, the more important it was for me to really spend time with the kids and the family. And especially when I was playing in Green Bay, you know, I was only home in Michigan for a couple months out of the year. So, you know, tried to make it a point to, you know, see my brother, see my mom, and kind of hang out, because once the season starts, I mean, you know, it's lockdown. You don't get a chance to do a lot of that stuff until, you know, whenever your bye week may fall. So, just kind of ramping up those last, you know, minute details about, you know, trying to get into shape, and also trying to make sure you did enough to, you know, spend time with loved ones and friends before you ship off.
Now, TJ, this is the time of year where obviously we previewed the Lions offensive line on our last episode, and we had a chance. We're going to preview a lot of the position groups, individuals going into this training camp in this football season, and we're going to get a chance to see some background information, because they're going to be on Hard Knocks. But there's always rankings coming out, and ESPN just came out with a ranking that they ranked the talent on a roster, the quality of the roster, and they also gave the depth chart, which the depth chart to me is, that's pretty obvious for most teams going into training camp, and then you're going to have some injuries and guys may move up, may move down. But they ranked this roster out of the 32 teams at number 25. And right, I always like to look at the teams right in front of them or right behind them. And right in front of the Detroit Lions at number 22 are the Pittsburgh Steelers, 23 the Arizona Cardinals, at 24 the New York Jets, which that one kind of surprised me that they were in front of the Lions. And then right behind them, you got the Giants at 26, the Carolina Panthers at 27, and Jacksonville at 28. And I'm curious your take on the preseason ranking in regards to the depth of talent, the starting talent, the roster as a whole. Do you think that's about where they should be?
I think it's fair as we sit here, you know, today, based off of, you know, what they did last year and some new pieces that they added. I'd say it's probably fair. But look, I think I don't expect that them to be that low, you know, once the season starts. I mean, you're planning, you're, you know, big part of your plan is for a lot of these young players to take a big step in year two, right? And even veteran guys, you know, taking a second year step in the system. You know what I mean? Having that comfort and having that chemistry to where you're not really, you know, worrying about too much install and learning the playbook as you are just going out there and playing because you already know it. So I think a lot of it's predicated on, you know, guys taking that year two step. But I would say it's fair. I mean, I don't really have a qualm with that right now because, look, with how excited we are, you know, and optimistic we are about this team heading into this year, there's still quite a few questions, you know, unanswered questions that people are going to keep their eye on, you know, like the linebacker position, you know, the depth on the defensive line, how the secondary is going to play out, right? Even the receiver group. I mean, obviously, we have high expectations for them when it comes to production, but, you know, are they going to live up to their potential, right? Those questions are obviously going to be answered here in a couple months, but as far as right here today, preseason 25, I mean, maybe seem a little bit low, but I wouldn't put them, you know, in the top 20, I don't think. Yeah. I mean, you just have to see and, you know, you obviously got to wait and see to see who the impact players are going to be, who's going to be that guy that takes that year two step from, you know, maybe being a depth player to having a breakout type season.
Well, it's interesting that you say the year two step because I do want to, in just a few moments, I want to talk about the year two of last year's rookie quarterbacks. And there's six of them that I want to talk about and their expectations going into year two. But that linebacker position you mentioned, a lot of question marks there. Derek Barnes going into year two, what do you expect him to be this year? Do you expect him to start? And what is it that he, in your mind, were things that he needed to work on and be better at going into year two?
I think the one thing that hopefully improves with him is reaction time, instincts, you know, being that ball hawk type guy where, you know, you're getting your reads, you know, pre-snap reads, obviously formations, motions, you're reading stances and, linebacker, look, a lot of the great linebackers, you know what plays are coming before the ball snapped. Yeah. I mean, I can't remember how many times we played, you know, Luke Kuechly or Bobby Wagner, and those guys are sitting there saying, hey, run over here, run over here. And in the back of your head, you're like, how the hell does he know that? Yeah. Right? You know, that's just
how are we giving that away?
Yeah, that just separates those guys. And then you think, okay, is it because of the formation? Is he reading my stance, right? Those are what the good linebackers do. So with Derek Barnes, hopefully in year two, the game slows down for him a little bit and he's more, he can take a more, you know, cerebral approach to that rather than just thinking, this is what I got, you know, go out there and be a playmaker. I think they're a better defense with him on the field. But for me, it's got to be instincts. And obviously, with that comes, you know, you talk about you want to be a big-time linebacker in this league, you got to be a sure tackler, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Derek last year, I don't think there were big issues, but there were some plays where, you know, you're just like, man, just wrap him up, you know? And I think the big run in the Vikings game, you know, when Madison ripped one off, he had him, you know, Derek Barnes had him stopped right there at the line of scrimmage, goes on for, I think it was a 50, 60-yard game, big play in that game. So plays like that, you know, making sure that you're finishing. You know what I mean? Put yourself in a good position to make a play and finish.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes with just the confidence and anticipation is such a big part of that linebacker position. Is, you know, one, film study, knowing what are the keys? Who is going to tip me off? Is it a formation? Is it a personnel group? Down in distance? All of those different things. In a rookie's head, that's a lot going on because the speed of the game is so much faster than it is in college. Now in year two, hopefully from January when the season ended for him to the lead up to the first game against Philly, that there is this time that he has spent studying film, studying himself, studying the opponents that he's going to face this year because things will change, but you can still look at, you know, a lot of film and the mental side, I think, is going to be the biggest hurdle for him is making sure that to be in the right place at the right time, to anticipate, to be able to process all that information at the linebacker position, run, pass, all of those different things, it comes down to recognition. And if you've spent time, you know, identifying those things in the offseason, okay? You know, when we're playing against Chicago, because a lot of those guys are going to be the same, or Green Bay or Minnesota, you know that's six games right there. When you can anticipate what a player is doing and what an offense is doing, and with reasonable amount of certainty, you know, approach a game with great confidence that you know what's going to happen before it happens, then you can play faster. Then you're in position. Then you're not thinking about wrapping up and, you know, hitting a guard with the right shoulder pad or the left shoulder pad. All of those things should now become instinctual because you're back to playing the game of football like you did in college, because you had a base of knowledge going into every single game. You had confidence that you had success. But now it's a matter of the mental side of things, making sure that, hey, instead of processing all that information, it should become second nature. Now it's just a matter of going out and performing. I'm hoping that's where Derek Barnes is going into year two. And in regards to starting, do you expect that he's going to be the starting linebacker for this team? Because you got Alex Anzalone, Derek Barnes, Jared Davis is back in the mix. You've got some other guys that are going to be pushing for some starting time. Is he the guy that goes into week one as the starting linebacker?
One of them, I would say, gosh, I would hope so. I do. I think he's probably up there with Anzalone and probably Jared Davis as of right now to be one of the three guys, right, with them moving more to a 4-3 style of attack defense.
Helps him too?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. When the scheme that they ran last year should allow the linebackers to make most of the plays, right? By that meaning, you know, your defensive line two gapping and trying to hold up, you know, two offensive linemen at a time. That should free up your linebackers a little bit more to play lateral. But with this new attack style defense, I think it helps your linebackers read plays better, you know, when you're having the defensive line jet up the field instead of just kind of playing down the line of scrimmage. It's to playing vertical instead of lateral, I think is going to give open up the vision a little bit more for linebackers to make some plays. So, you know, he could be a guy that definitely benefits from that too. But I would expect him, I think he's might be at the top of my list when you take a look at just players on this team that are coming off their rookie year that you expect to see a big second-year jump. I think he would probably be at the top of my list. So anything less of him you know, starting or being an impact player on that defense for my expectations would probably be a little bit disappointing. I'm sure for his expectations too.
Yeah. And you know, the we talk about the mental side of things. There's no position where it's probably more important than the quarterback position. And last year there were five quarterbacks taken in the first round, and we're going to focus mainly on the Detroit Lions, but going into the football season, we are going to focus a little bit about, you know, what's going on around the NFL, and there were five quarterbacks taken in the first round. Another one that got a ton of playing times, 13 games, 13 starts, that's Davis Mills, who was drafted in the third round by the Houston Texans, and a lot of what he did was overlooked because, one, they were so bad, but two, the whole drama of Deshaun Watson and everything that was going on there. But the five in the first round, obviously Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. Now, I am going to throw Davis Mills in there because he got so much playing time. Who out of those six quarterbacks, and the answer could be the same, could be different. The first question: who takes the biggest step forward from year one to year two?
Oh, boy. I mean, I would think Trevor Lawrence, you know, just with obviously him being the number one pick. And, you know, I know they're going through a coaching change, but everything that happened last year with Urban Meyer just sounded like a complete dumpster fire down there in Jacksonville. So now that, look, I mean, Doug Peterson's a very well-respected guy. I think every team he's ever coached, the players really enjoy playing for him. So I think when you factor in that equation, Trevor Lawrence for me would probably be the guy that I would expect to make a noticeable jump in year two. The other guy, look, I mean, Trey Lance, you don't really know much about him.
Right.
But
he's probably the one that played the least.
Yeah, and he's probably the one, though, that's set up for immediate success better than anybody else.
Because of what's around him.
What's around him, San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan and George Kittle and hopefully Debo Samuel. Who knows what's going to happen with him. But he's probably most set up. He's set up the best to come in and have an immediate impact just because of the team that he plays for. So he'll be interesting to watch, too.
Yeah, and you mentioned Trevor Lawrence. I do think he probably takes the biggest step forward. One, he's, I think, all around got the best set of skills. And whether it's with his feet, whether it's his ball handling skills, it's his arm, it's his height. Plus the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars went out and signed Christian Kirk. They've got Marvin Jones Jr., who we're obviously very familiar with. Zay Jones is their other wide receiver. They got Laviska Shenault, you know, in that wide receiver room, who's a big target to throw the ball to. They went out and did about everything they could to improve their roster on the offensive side of things in 1 year as they possibly could.
And you get a healthy, hopefully, Travis Etienne back, who was a number one pick last year as well.
Yeah.
Tore his Achilles, I think, missed the whole season. So be interesting to see how he's used as gadgety type player. I'm sure he'll be probably a pretty good playmaker for him as well.
Yeah, and I'm curious about two guys. One, Trey Lance. You know, and as you mentioned, nobody is going to have more weapons around him than Trey Lance with the San Francisco 49ers, especially with a coach like Kyle Shanahan, who can be very creative. And I'm excited to see a little bit about Kyle and learn a little bit more about Kyle Shanahan in regards to he's got a quarterback and in a quarterback style that's different than I think anybody that he's really, you know, had influence over before. You know, it was in Atlanta, it was Matt Ryan, and we know Matt Ryan's as immobile as any quarterback in the NFL. Jimmy G is a little bit more mobile, but you wouldn't classify him as a two-way threat.
Now
Trey Lance offers that, you know, that dual threat at quarterback where, yeah, you can use him as a runner. You want to be cautious because, you know, you don't want to get your quarterback hurt. He's no Josh Allen, but you know, he's got tremendous, you know, skill in terms of arm talent and, you know, can throw the ball deep. He's going to have some weapons. I'm curious to see him. And that leads me to my second question, which of the quarterbacks, I kind of answered it myself in talking about Trey Lance. And you did a little bit, but in regards to which of those six quarterbacks intrigues you the most going into year two?
I think the one that I need to see a little bit more of might be Mac Jones.
17 starts, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. They did make the playoffs.
Which isn't overly impressive. I mean, for rookie numbers, you might say, you know, yeah, like it's a pretty solid start. But for him, there's just something about him where I'm just not fully bought
in
yet. You know, not sold on him yet. So I think he's the one that intrigues me. He can either become, you know, is he going to be a Tom Brady type guy that just takes off, you know, and is a stud, or is he going to be a guy that just kind of is what he is, you know? And obviously with New England last year, they took a different approach. You know, they went out and signed a bunch of free agents, signed a couple tight ends and weapons for him. And
okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
No, but they were still kind of that run-first offense, you know. A lot of Mac Jones' success wasn't, you know, just throwing the ball, airing it out 40 times. I mean, a lot of games he's throwing it, you know, 20 times, 22 times, and a lot of that was coming off of play action. So he's probably the guy that honestly I think intrigues me because I still feel unsure about him. I still feel like it can go one of two ways. He's either going to be a superstar or he's just going to be, you know, what we saw last year, right? I don't really know if there's any in between. I think you know, it's going to be interesting to watch his development in year two.
Yeah, and the one quarterback that nobody really talks about, and he had a, I don't want to say disastrous rookie season, because I don't really believe any quarterback should start as a rookie. I think the college game and NFL game, while it is become, you know, it's getting more in line with one another, it's a completely different game still. The speed of the game is so much faster, but Zach Wilson with the Jets, almost nobody talks about him and the weapons that they've added. And going into year two, they've got, you know, Ohio State wide receiver, one of their first-round picks, Garrett Wilson. They've got Corey Davis at receiver, Elijah Moore. They drafted Breece Hall. They've got some playmakers on the outside. It'll be interesting to see. I think the big question for them is how much they can protect them.
Yeah.
You know, with that offensive line, this will be a make it or break it year, I think, for Mekhi Becton. And all reports are that he's ballooned up this offseason. He's coming in very heavy. Now, obviously, we mentioned there's still, 4 weeks before they report, and a lot can happen with us big guys and our weight in 4 weeks. But if they can't protect him, it really doesn't matter how many weapons they have around him, because he's probably a little gun shy from last year. You know, where are they coming from? Who's going to hit me? And when are they going to hit me? And if he has to spend 2 years getting beat up, my concern is that they might ruin him.
It's possible. And I think the only other quarterback sacked more last year was Justin Fields.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was Joe Burrow.
Oh, Joe Burrow had a lot of sacks, too. But I think sack rate, you know, I'm actually looking at it right now. Fields was 11.8% and Wilson was 10.3%. That's a lot. 10% of your dropbacks are getting hit and sacked. But, yeah, I mean, they signed Laken Tomlinson, who, look, I mean, Laken, I never thought got a fair shake here in Detroit. Went out to San Francisco and really turned his career around and earned himself a nice contract. He's a pretty solid guard. But like you said, I mean, Zach Wilson's just kind of like a, I don't know, tweener for me. Maybe put him in the Mac Jones category where you just don't know which way it's going to go. You know, obviously showed, I don't watch a ton of Jets games. AFCs. Well, this year, why just because, you know, the Lions are going to match up with him. But he's just kind of still in that tweener category for me where, he could be a superstar, or he could just be kind of whatever. You know, and I can't get around the fact that it's still the Jets, right? They have a way of kind of ruining good talent somehow. Yeah. So it'll be an interesting one to see out. One name we haven't brought up though, that I think you would probably agree on with this, that's probably set up for the least success in year two, might be Justin Fields.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you look at Chicago and losing Allen Robinson, you know, number one target. They didn't really add anything. Their offensive line is just not good.
Yeah.
You look at the weapons and you just kind of like, ugh.
You mentioned that sack rate, hit rate. What are they doing? I don't see it improving at all. Now, some of it can improve just by Justin Fields learning more about blitzes in the NFL, pressures, and getting rid of the ball so he doesn't get hit. But at some point, you got to protect the guy. And, you know, when we talked about whether it was Zach Wilson adding Garrett Wilson at wide receiver, we talked about Trevor Lawrence and the additions that they made in the skill position, Trey Lance having the advantage of having a talented roster around him, Mac Jones, and the free agents that they went out and signed last year. Justin Fields, I mean, if you're going into year two and that's going to be your franchise quarterback, why would you not do something to give him some help? And instead of adding talent, they lost talent in Allen Robinson. So I agree with you. I think that that one is obviously we're intrigued because it's in division. And more than happy to watch him struggle as a division opponent, but as just a guy that watches football, I think he's got a large upside. But again, don't want him to get ruined by not being able to develop at the quarterback position because he's getting murdered all the time.
Yeah, it's going to be and look, I mean, you know, I obviously have a rivalry with the Bears and, you know, don't yeah. like Ohio State. So last year, you know, that was kind of hard on Justin Fields. I mean, he did do some
and you're nice, okay with that.
He did some nice things, though. I mean, he showed – there's a couple games. I think one that stood out was, gosh, was it like a Monday night game against Pittsburgh where – late in the game, remember yep. Cassius Marsh got that stupid penalty taunting the sideline that ended up costing
him. That's right.
But Justin Fields made some incredible throws in that game, and that was a big-time stage too. So he's definitely got the talent to be a good quarterback, I think. But like you said, I mean, does the mindset you know, equal the talent, right? Because, look, there's not a lot of people really giving him a shot. I mean, just based off of – what's around him, new GM, new coach. Does the GM even want him to be, you know, the long-term franchise type guy? Who yeah. knows? But I think Justin Fields has the talent. He just doesn't have the talent around him. I think he's gosh, and you hate to say this about guys, but I think it might be a rough year for him individually just playing on the Bears. I don't expect them to do much this year. I don't think anybody really does.
No. And before we go, I do want to have just a little bit of fun. And I told you this before we started recording the podcast, and I'm a little surprised that I know you were out of country, you were on vacation, you were you know, kicking back with umbrella drinks, but AP, former Lions running back, everybody knows him more for his time in Minnesota, but Adrian Peterson and former Michigan State running back, obviously at Pittsburgh and with the Jets, Le'Veon Bell, are going to put on the gloves, get in the ring, and they're going to have an exhibition bout between two former NFL running backs.
I totally missed this too. I mean, I was surprised you telling me. Obviously, I was in Mexico last week, but
yeah.
Is there any background information on this? Like, do these two not get along?
No, I don't think so.
Or is it just like, hey, let's go have some fun?
I think they just want to. I don't know what it is. So my question is, why? And I have my reasons why I think they would do it, and why, if presented the opportunity, I might do it. But.
You're gonna pay me a lot of money.
Well, that would be a good reason why. I don't know that there's a lot of money in this for AP or for Le'Veon, but I'm going to make you the bookie. All right. Okay. Set the odds. Who is the favorite in this match?
Oh, wow. Because
you're talking about a guy in boxing. Adrian Peterson who yeah. is a freak of nature.
I would probably put AP at maybe minus 200. You know, put nice. Bell probably, you know, plus 350-ish. AP's just a beast, man. I mean, yeah. he is. Like, and I mean, I remember standing next to him during one game. It was a TV timeout. It was kind of one of those review-type plays. We didn't know if we were going to be on offense or defense, so both offenses were on the field. And I remember standing next to him and talking to him. I think we kind of gave, like, a fist bump. And,
yeah.
like, he had, like, he almost freaking broke my knuckles. Like, with the, I'm like, dude, this dude is freaking yeah. strong, man. So, he's kind of out there, too, a little bit mentally. I mean, he would be kind of the guy that just –
that like
kind of snaps and takes a, yeah. the exhibition Rocky IV where it's just supposed to be fun and just starts killing people. he might cross the line.
You got Le'Veon?
Yeah, I would say, gosh, yeah, AP, it'd be hard to bet against him.
Yeah, and I think the other one, and this goes back to what we started on the podcast. I asked you the question about if you miss training camp because I do, and one of the things that I miss about football – and that, you know, in nothing that we do the rest of our lives, unless you and I are given this opportunity to put on gloves and square off against each other, I miss the contact. I miss the physicality of it. I miss being able to just go out there.
Put your hand on another man.
And just beat the hell out of someone.
Yeah.
I really do, because there's no other place that we can do that.
Yeah, no.
And legally. It's gone. It's gone forever.
Yeah, can't do it legally. That's actually, I mean, I don't want to make this a huge topic, but when I was watching the Unrivaled on the Red Wings, you know, just awesome how the emotion got going, and that was a great show. But, you know, I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm like, man, I never realized how much of an impact, you know, those guys talking about Darren McCarty, Joe Koser, Bob Probert even before them had an impact on me, you know, where it's just like always stick up for your teammates, you know, and obviously in football you can't take the helmet off and take the gloves off and stand out there and fight guys. If you're like Sue, you can kick guys, but you're not allowed to punch guys out there. Yeah. That was the one difference. But you talk about, yeah, I mean, there's just very few people know what that feels like just to, you know, be asked to line up against somebody who's equal in size, you know, put your hands on his chest and move him when he doesn't want to
go that way.
Yeah, there's very few things that are more satisfying than being able to do that. So that's a part of it I miss too. And the little tumble, you know, the fights, you know, the little brawls, the little scrums, you know, I always enjoy. I remember one time, gosh, we got into a game and there's a couple ejections, couple brawls, couple scrums. I think it was with Dallas and, you know, a couple guys trying to take me out on the sideline. And after the game, I remember being asked about it, you know, why are you always in the middle of a scrum, you know? And I'm like, you don't gotta invite me to the scrum. I'll be the first one there. But I said, probably my background watching hockey. I mean, I grew up watching, you know, just loving the enforcers and loving that attitude and loving how much they meant to the team. You know, when they were out there, guys weren't going to with you, you know, like I really kind of they had a big impact on my career because that's how I always tried to approach the game. But yeah, I mean, being able to manhandle somebody, you know, that's getting paid a lot of money to try to manhandle you,
yeah,
when you get them, I mean, there's nothing better than that.
Well, we're gonna wrap this one up and a little teaser for next week. Next week's episode is gonna come out a little earlier in the week. This one a little bit later because both TJ and I were on vacation at the beginning of the week. But you are actually leaving at some point. I think it's today or tomorrow, and you're taking a helicopter ride.
Next week, actually.
Oh, it's next week.
Next week.
That's why we got to go early. So next week. So I do want to, and I may postpone this then for two episodes because I want to know what you think about that chopper ride.
I'm not feeling good about it. I'll tell you that right now. I'll give you a review afterwards. But
yes, the big
man. It's going to be a long 6 days leading up to that.
And they're going to measure every ounce that goes on that helicopter. And you're thinking, how safe is this really?
I think I got to go on a diet, lose a couple pounds,
just so you can
so I can get on the thing.
More beer with you.
Yeah, I'm well, we'll see. I'm kind of excited, but at the same time, I'm very, very nervous.
All right.
I'll give you a full detailed review when I get back.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to that, but we will come a little bit earlier next week because TJ needs to make his chopper ride. Thanks for listening. We're going to continue to preview the Detroit Lions as we approach training camp, which is supposed to start July the 26th. Fans are welcome down if you're a season ticket holder on July 30. There's going to be a lot of practices open. TJ and I are going to both be down there for a lot of those practices, so we'll look forward to meeting up with you, and we'll talk to you next week here on Necessary Roughness.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.